anyone else on your side you're expecting?
No, I think we're good to go. I mean, we may have others join, but you have the core group in terms of talking about what needs to happen in Istanbul. Others may join, but I think we're good to go.
Sounds good. We have an active typist. Hopefully they will mute, unless they were also typing and talking at the same time. In any case, I think we should kick this off. We don't have a formal agenda, for which I apologize, but I think informally, I think we know what we need to talk about, which is the document that is in the screen now, plans for Istanbul, including the kind of plan that you put in the email that you sent to us a few days ago with regard to kind of a subject matter and looking at the what is priority for putting into any proposal. So,
I wonder if we could start with the, you know, the prep for Istanbul and what's expected there. I think that, you know, we want to make sure that we really nail that down, and I don't want to run out of time.
Absolutely. I think that's a very good suggestion. I'll ask Jonathan, perhaps, who is, as the chair of the overall CWG, in charge of the overall agenda, which is now up in the Adobe Connect room, to talk a bit about the agenda and thoughts on where the client committee or where Sidley will fit in, and we can add to that in kind of open discussion. Jonathan?
Thanks, Greg, and hello, everyone. I started to think about this, and it's clear that we've done some prep work on the agenda for Istanbul. What we had to balance was a strong interest in any input from Sidley, with a requirement to get on with producing some of the nuts and bolts of the proposal. Therefore, in order to manage that, we didn't want to necessarily, in constructing the agenda, the chairs didn't necessarily want to put Sidley in right up at the front of the meeting and have this so-called, you know, overarching issue or the issues that you're dealing with absolutely dominate the meeting when we've clearly got work to do on other elements of the proposal as led by the design teams. However, we didn't want to put all of the discussion with Sidley today too, and therefore this is what we've ended up with. So that's just a structural explanation of why we've got a decent session with you on day one and a follow-up session on day two. This agenda is work in progress, so we can flex it based on our discussion with you, based on our input from the design teams, and we may well do that. But clearly, we have sympathy with the fact that you will want to plan around that. So if you can just bear with us as much as possible. We're only getting final design team input on late Monday. So this is going to have to be work in progress.
That's Jonathan, that's
then
fine.
Then thinking about
that's
how... Okay, go ahead.
I was saying that's fine with us. We're you know, it's your days to plan whatever works for you. I just have a question. While the design, as currently scheduled, for example, there are some things that might be interesting for us to listen in on. Are we invited to listen in on any part of these meetings that we'd like?
We have arranged a glass screen with a soundproof box for you to observe. No, I'm kidding. You'll be most welcome. You'll be most welcome, and we are. I think. To the best of my knowledge, we are expecting you involved, active and listening in and hearing the discussion and the issues, because we think and we have understood that you think that this will be useful to informing you and getting you as knowledgeable and understanding nuance and detail as possible. So, yes, you are welcome at all sessions.
This is Greg, just to follow up on that. I think the idea is to give you kind of the morning and earlier part of the afternoon to kind of hear about the work that we're doing, acclimatize yourself to the people in the room, the people on the phone who are participating remotely, to the work styles and methods, and even some of the kind of soft issues that we deal with in a group of this nature, and to as you see fit to contribute to the discussions. There are certainly issues that some of the design teams are dealing with that deal with some of the legal issues that were raised in the scoping document, and then there are some that are dealing with legal issues or places where legal input could be helpful that wasn't necessarily anticipated in the scoping document. So we view this as kind of a gentle onboarding procedure, as opposed to putting you at the beginning and throwing you in the deep end with a bunch of people you've never, you know, truly sat with before. So you'll get a chance by the time the afternoon rolls around, you'll feel like, you know, it's old home week, and you'll have a greater understanding of all the dynamics that we're dealing with. So it's expected that you'll be there slogging through with all of us and, you know, gradually kind of, you know, finding your voice. And, you know, I know that lawyers as a crowd tend not to be shrinking violets, so I expect that you'll, you know, get into the swing of participation fairly naturally as we go.
Sounds good.
Yeah, thanks, Greg, for that supplement. That's absolutely right. So that, in addition to what I said, is absolutely part of the rationale. All right, so then the question is, well, you know, how do we manage your input and interaction, and what if anything, is necessary to deal with that? Certainly one of the ways I was thinking about this, and we can perhaps come to this later, but is thinking about, you know, the mechanics of our relationship and where we expect this to go from a step-by-step sort of process, if you like. And so that's one thing I wouldn't mind touching on. You know, where does this fit in? Because we've given you the briefing document, you've reviewed it and provide some initial advice. We now get to discuss that. So at the moment, my thinking at least is that the first session is highlights from that document, and ideally we'd want to, I mean, my concern is that document that both that we've prepared to you and you've responded to is sufficient information to occupy us for hours and hours and hours. So the question is, how do we focus a discussion around that? So I would imagine we'd want to pick out highlights and discuss that. And on the back of that, then seek to revise and update and refine. The question is, what of that next step in the process gets done on the Friday, or is that simply a continuation? So you asked the question, Holly, and that's helpful. That's my kind of initial input, and I wouldn't mind this being a discussion now and thinking about how we handle that. And one of the things we might want to do is give initial reflections on what you've written, because, you know, you've had to respond very quickly. You've produced something. We've had a very short time to respond to it. We're all under quite substantial time pressure, so there may be some dialogue in and around the actual content, some preliminary dialogue in and around the content. Let me pause there and see, you know, if others want to come in on the suggestions, thoughts, and input.
This is Sharon. Can I ask a question about what are you hoping to achieve coming out of Istanbul?
That's a really good question, Sharon. And what we hope to do. Yeah. What I mean, there's two things we were hoping to do is both on a session by session basis set out an objective and a desired outcome per session. In general, at a very high level, our objective is to be in a position to either produce key parts of the proposal or be in a position to relatively shortly thereafter produce key parts of the proposal. Our timetable has us producing a proposal for public comment in the first half of April. Now, the question is how comprehensive a document can we produce in that point? So it's the objective is certainly towards getting as locked down or as comprehensive a version of the proposal as possible. We're sufficiently early in the process with you that's clearly going to be challenging. So at the very minimum, we want the group to have had the initial input from you as to what the kind of art of the possible is. One of the delicate things I'd like to discuss with you and understand how we're going to work is at what point you provide us with firmer advice, if you like, because there's the soft advice, these are all the things that are possible, and then there's a question as to, at the moment, as I see the document produced, it doesn't necessarily highlight where something might be more or less desirable based on an opinion of the risks associated with it. And that's a holistic thing. That's not necessarily a legal issue only, but those are the kind of, that's the sort of, if you like. So I'm realize I'm not giving you a crisp answer because I feel that we've got to have this conversation before getting to where do we think we can get to, what's possible.
Mm-hmm. So Jonathan, could I just want to respond to sort of the last, because we made sort of a conscious decision not to, in answering the questions at this preliminary stage, do too much sort of, you know, risk analysis. We thought, given the way the questions were posed, that it was important to start with some information, because we think, based on having better information, the proposals could be fine-tuned so that at the point at which you're really trying to consider among one or more paths, you have the proposals more crisply defined so that you can also provide a better, crisper legal discussion around what the risks are, what the benefits and risks are. We felt it was really premature to try to do that at this point. Take your point absolutely that we're going to have to get to that point and in a relatively short period of time. And we also, of course, have received another proposal across the transom with a set of questions that we need to address. So, you know, when I think about what I'd like to see come out of Istanbul from our side, it's more focus around what pathways you really want to explore in a more in-depth way. I think it is challenging, to say the least, to think that there are four or five pathways that you would want detailed legal advice on. So our goal is to help you think about how to maybe, you know, focus in a little on two or three.
This is Greg. I think that's a very good approach. I think it's also, you know, very good that there was no kind of premature favoring of one proposal over another. I think that would, in this hothouse atmosphere of the CWG, have provoked all sorts of thoughts, most of them unfounded, regardless of which proposal you favored. So I think starting out with the facts and then, you know, going from, you know, the facts and the law to the risks and the analysis, you know, seems like the right thing. Obviously, we'll need to do it quickly. I think that it may be rather quickly that we focus on starting to try to separate the more desirable from the less desirable. And maybe not on the first day, but in the second day, and it may be those things, you know, start to develop even during the conversations prior to what I'll call the Siddeley slot in the afternoon. Jonathan?
Yeah, thanks, Greg and Holly, before you. So just to be crystal clear, I didn't intend to suggest that you should have done so at this point. But what I do think is important, and so I agree with you both, I think, that we wanted the landscape evaluated in the first instance. But what I do think is also important is that we provide a map to the group of when and how that landscape might be narrowed. And clearly that's going to involve input from the group. But understanding the extent to which you will be able to help us narrow that landscape will be helpful and map our way through that. So that's great. I think we understand each other well in that way. And I'll stop there for a moment. I think that's clear, therefore, that we certainly want to have an opportunity to have a decent discussion around this initial advice, but it would be useful to build a common understanding between the client committee and Sidley, and then through us, the client committee, with the CWG as to, you know, the route map going forward, what the steps and processes are. And finally, if we end up with multiple outputs in the first instance, and I accept that we need to narrow those down to less, but it may be possible that we produce a document for public comment that has more than one option in it, but properly quantified through our work, or properly evaluated through our work with you.
That sounds right to us. Sharon, do you have a reaction?
No, that's very helpful. Thank you.
So, this is Josh. one question, just sort of on as we narrow in and focus on this sort of issue of ranking or recommending proposals. As you rightly said, Jonathan, there's kind of there's the legal aspects, and then there's the holistic considerations that go into what proposal we ultimately land on. Would it be your expectation that, let's say we had the desire was to hone in on the ultimate goal to produce for public comment would be to have one proposal as the recommended proposal, and then in a sense have a second and third proposal with an explanation of the advantages and disadvantages, and ultimately some statement perhaps of why, you know, that one was not the ultimately picked as the recommended proposal. Let's say we got to that. If everybody agreed that was an endpoint for something to produce for public comment, is it your expectation that you know, Sidley would be charged with having listened to, you know, the meetings in Istanbul and done the legal research and these discussions with you all, that Sidley would be charged with producing the initial draft, in a sense, making the advising to you all, this is our recommendation for the proposal that you should, that should be selected, and this is our second and third, and you all will then react to that and de-discussion, et cetera, or is it your expectation that the CWG would say to Sidley, based on everything we've heard and listened to, this is what we would like to present as the principal proposal or the recommended proposal, these are the two sort of backups, if you will, or alternatives, and can you advise on whether you agree and also help flesh out the, you know, advantages and disadvantages? So who's going to make the first recommendation as to what is the preferred proposal?
That's a really good question. Thanks, Greg. And it was something which I wanted to discuss and probably think about a little. In the first instance, my question was, you might have come back to me and to us and said, look, that's not our game. We can't do that. All we can do is give you the landscape of options, highlight to you the risks, and we feel it would be very difficult for us to do any more than that. What I'm sensing from you is that you may be able to go a step further than that, and you may be able to express an opinion as to your view on balance, based on the legal considerations and what you've heard, what your recommendation would be. Certainly my opinion is that I would be receptive to that. And I think that might be very helpful to us, because you have a degree of distance and objectivity that many of us don't have. So there is real value in that. And in my sense, that the only thing that would undermine that would be if someone could say in some way that you were either in some way biased or insufficiently informed, such that your opinion didn't have sufficient credibility. But other than those initial thoughts as to how that might be criticized, I'm definitely, that's something I'd like to think about. So I didn't come into this meeting thinking, right, this is the answer. I needed to understand that point first. So, that's where I think we're at. And I haven't discussed this with Lisa, but I see some other hands go up.
Let me just make one point clear, and then I'm going to hand the ball over to anybody else. When I sort of laid out those two scenarios, I wasn't necessarily saying that Sidley was, you know, in a position to do that. I was trying to gather some input and feedback from you on what, you know, CWG's desires are.
This is Greg. I think that if counsel weren't around, the CWG would be attempting to work towards some form of a consensus proposal, and with the possibility that a minority view could also develop, and the ideal endpoint is a single proposal, but there may be points where there is either a minority view or an open choice between different things. I think that, you know, In one way, as I'd be looking to counsel for the CWG, would be to kind of help weigh the pros and cons of some of these pieces to actively participate to the counsel, in essence, since you do have distance, you don't have an axe to grind, that might be seen as, favoring one endpoint over another. But clearly we'll be looking for kind of active consultation, and ideally for kind of an iterative approach that would take us down the path together, so that we could kind of more or less organically achieve an endpoint that is both the considered converging view of the CWG with full advice and weighing in of counsel. Holly?
Yeah, thank you, Greg, and I'm glad you said that at the end. Look, I think the way lawyers usually work is in an iterative process. We learn what our clients' goals are and their thinking on how they might achieve those goals. We provide information about the implications of those approaches, and together work to try to come up with solutions. And at the end of the day, you come to something that people think is the good approach. So I envision a very iterative process where, we're certainly comfortable giving viewpoints on what we think works, might not work, has risks, has less risks. But at the end of the day, I think the best outcome is going to be through this iterative process, continuing to narrow down and focus. And I think that's where we get the best kind of outcome. That being said, if the expectation of the group was that at some point we came out with some kind of formal idea about what we thought was the best, we are certainly able to do that, able to weigh in, able to, to provide our voice into the mix in a more sort of formal and static way. It's really up to you folks.
Greg, again, I think, one of the challenges will be to help guide the CWG without getting ahead of the CWG in such a way as to make it seem like you're kind of leading or kind of breaking away from kind of the thought process. So I guess the iterative organic intertwined approach is really the best one, and I think also one that will keep the so the people who are kind of watching the process, even if they aren't in a camp that initially favored a particular result, will feel that the process was, you know, both fair and enlightening and took the best view toward both, you know, risks and outcomes. Jonathan, I think your hand is next, or is that Holly?
No, I got to take mine down. I have to figure out how to do that.
Yes, just click on the guy up on top again. Jonathan? I see Jonathan has actually taken his hand down as well. So any further comments on this point from others on the call? I see Jonathan's hand.
Great. Now. Yeah, so I took my hand down and actually didn't immediately come off mute. So I think this discussion around the way of working and the iterations and so on has been exactly what I hoped we would have in helping us then to figure out what the limits of what we could or couldn't achieve both ahead of and during Istanbul and immediately afterwards. So it's been very useful to do that, and that's both helps me, but I think helps anyone tracking this work as well. So that's useful. I think in terms of the likely outcomes, I mean, Josh touched on, you know, where we might go ultimately with this in terms of public comment and final report and so on. Of course, it would be most elegant if we could just come to a solution, but it's going to be messier than that along the way. And we're going to have to have some challenges. And Greg, as you said, we might end up with minority positions. It's rather difficult to tell at this point. But one of the issues we're facing, which is part of what's clearly putting us under pressure, is the time constraints. And that means that we may have to accept a document going out for public comment, which has more than one variant in it, but with a more comprehensive assessment of risk or issues than has previously been achieved. Nevertheless, notwithstanding that, I agree, I think, and it seems like others do as well, with the discussion that went on in the chat about the structure of the 2 days. It feels like taking this document open-ended, having a discussion around the issues, and really just talking through some of the highlights and key points on day one, and then perhaps trying to take something a little bit more outcomes-oriented on day two could be very useful way of dealing with the two sessions we've normally allocated to this part of the work in Istanbul. And I'll just highlight one other point, is that we have set aside the prospect of going into evening time either Thursday or Friday and or Friday, if given that everyone is in the same place at the same time, and we may well reach into one or both those sessions depending on how this is going. Thanks, Greg.
This is Greg. I've posted in the chat, and I realize it's a little lengthy, especially when you look at it in the chat. This is from an email that Holly sent, I think, at the beginning of the week. It seems like so long ago now. The idea that was here was really kind of comes at where the break is between the two postings. Propose a discussion in Istanbul of the priority items that any successful proposal should accomplish, address, and avoid. The nature of a review for the CWG, but will help to move the project forward by providing insight into issues and viewpoints. That still seems to me to be useful, I guess. Is that kind of day one, day two, or are we kind of morphing away from that a little bit? Just like some thoughts initially from Sidley or from anybody else on how this kind of proposed work item, if you will, fits into where we're going.
Well, this is Holly. I think that there's value in it in a couple of ways. I think we are learning a lot, and we can learn a lot from the written and from listening into the calls and from the due diligence that conversations we've had with you. But there's a lot to understand here about what concerns various people and why. And it seems to me that this is a great opportunity for us to hear that a little from people directly, and also give people the opportunity to feel like they've had a chance to tell us what's on their minds in terms of what the most important issues are that need to be addressed, and what any successful proposal ultimately needs to accomplish or address. So I'd, if there's time, and I would think relatively earlier in the 2 days than later in the 2 days, it's something that we would appreciate. At the same time, I know that the group has probably talked about a lot of this at great length, and I'm not suggesting reopening and debating. I'm really almost thinking of a whiteboard exercise where we said, okay, you know, what are the priority things that a successful proposal accomplishes? You know, in addition to the sort of the basic principles that you've written down in the points in the scoping document, what else? And is there a priority among them? And so we used, for one example, capture. And I'd like a little exploration around what capture means, because it can mean some different things. But those kinds of notions. And then I'll put my hand down.
Jonathan?
Yeah, a couple of reactions and a couple of thoughts. I mean, certainly, I think there is real value in simply having the opportunity to talk through the airing of views point. I think that airing of views is better organized if we could try and capture it through some themes that Holly was just talking about. So it might be very good to, Greg, if we can try and work on really trying to take at a high level what key themes there might be, like the concept of capture that Holly gave an example, that even if we don't explicitly put those on the agenda as such, that we can make sure that as the conversation runs, we can say, well, has anyone had the chance to talk about this, or find a way in which we can cover those key themes. Two other points I'd like to make. One is that all of this, occurs in a context, and that may be a theme that we might even want to pick up. In other words, you know, we could make whatever proposal we liked, but if we thought there was a high chance of it being rejected at some point in the future steps, it might well be legally viable, it might well be appealing to the CWG, but we do need to have that check that says, will it find broader acceptance, and will it be acceptable to the NTIA? Will it meet the NTIA's criteria? So I think that's a key point. And then one thing I thought of, and I wanted to air with you, I'm just wondering if I shouldn't come back to that. I'll hold it for a moment. There's one thing I'd just like to talk with you all about in a moment, but let me just pause in case there are other thoughts or reactions or comments at this stage. So Grace just reminded me in a side chat that we will have Explain available. Explain, our graphic specialist, graphic artist who work in visualizing complex subjects and helping to explain and articulate and image concepts. So they're going to be available to us as both doing some pre-prep material and some facilitation and facilitation in the meetings and communication post-meetings. So if anyone feels from Sidley or indeed on the client committee that there are particular elements of what we're working on could be usefully helped with by Explain, that's also something to think about. It wasn't the other point I wanted to come to, but that was just a nudge from Grace on that one.
Jonathan, why don't you take your next point, since I think your jewel-like statement needed no further commentary.
Thanks, Greg. It struck me that there's trying to think how to articulate this. The big issue we've got is the sort of elephant in the room is, what if IANA were to be transitioned to another operator? What structure, what structural construct would best facilitate that eventuality? Ironically, there's all this work going into that structural that structure that may never be used should ICANN continue to perform an effective management and operation of the IANA functions operator. But nevertheless, there is a desire, there is some level of concern that by creating such a structure or certainly variants of that structure, we create a fundamental instability. And that's for example, is a context point that we will need to look at. But I thought of a thought experiment. So we're very focused on transition one. We move IANA away from ICANN, and then what? But what happens if we then were to move IANA away to a third operator, which is, if you can conceive of IANA being moved to a second operator, why couldn't it be moved to a third operator? And what, if any, legal and other issues does that throw up? So it struck me that we were very focused on step one, but... Yeah. It really needed, and I'm struggling to articulate this properly, but it may be that we need, I'll possibly have to write some thoughts down on this, but I just wonder whether we are, what the issues might be in that, if we only think of, because I guess, let me put it this way, everyone thinks about moving IANA away from ICANN because there's a problem with ICANN. But what if those problems, you know, the question is, I'm really struggling to capture this easily. So let me hold off there and let the discussion take its course. Greg, I'll hand back to you. I'm sorry. I just can't seem to quite capture that thought.
No, I think there's a meta concept there, and I think we will need to return to it, an important one. I see Sharon's hand is up.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, I think it's a really good point, Jonathan, because the step two, then how do we implement that transition? That's its own project. I mean, that's a huge project of its own, right? We're just focused right now on step one, how do we transition at day one? But to build out I think you're talking about the nuclear option, right? And if the nuclear option occurs, that will require a lot of documentation on the how of that transition. And the what, and where is it going, and what would be an acceptable recipient, and what form would it take? And I don't know if any work has been done on that, but I view that as also a major project.
Holly,
To my mind, Jonathan, I thought you were pretty clear. I hope I'm clear in understanding you. Instead of saying that this is like, you know, looking at yourself in mirrors upon mirrors, right? We can set up the structure around what happens if ICANN doesn't perform and it gets taken away. But then you have the next problem of what if the next doesn't perform and the next one after that and the next one after that? How do you have, you know, really have... Where does this end, if you will? You have the same issue in looking at accountability structures and review structures. you know, at what point do you say, you know, that's enough oversight and we'll let the buck stop someplace? So these are really difficult issues and I think important ones to keep in mind. And also to keep in mind that as we're trying to solve for these problems, when is a solution good enough? Not perfect, not going to address every eventuality, but gives enough guidance so that in those situations that we can't define down the road, people have a process and some guidance to try to figure things out.
Thanks, Holly. I'll speak briefly and then, you know, turn it over to Jonathan. I think there's kind of two aspects to this. I think, you know, first, there is work being done. Looking at, you know, the potential transition away and the mechanics of it, as well as the triggers for it, two separate work streams in design teams. I think there's, when I said there's kind of a meta issue here, the meta issue is that we have to be both very focused on the potential for things to go bad and to anticipate worst-case scenarios that might require moving the IANA function away from ICANN to a different team, or even conceivably moving the IANA function team or the root zone management staff away to a different entity if for some reason we feel they're doing a good job, but ICANN as an institution has become the wrong place for it. At the same time, we, and this is kind of where we kind of went a little bit awry in terms of priority, we have to make sure that what we're creating is operationally something that will perform the oversight function day to day and not just deal with the 100-year flood, but deal with the day-to-day operational oversight and give and take that you know, customers and multi-stakeholder group have to have over the IANA functions and, you know, what those, how those will be measured and how often and, you know, what the expectations are. So we have a real balancing act. In kind of an Act 1, we were very focused on separability and separation, and in Act 2, we're more focused on operability and operational excellence management. Clearly, both of those are important. And so we have to kind of, you know, balance those two, as well as the idea that we have to create something that is could be iterated away from the next participant as well. Jonathan?
Thanks. You covered much of it, so I'll try and be brief. I think you, but I would like to really emphasize the point that you made. This is a transition in stewardship or oversight. And with that transition in stewardship or oversight comes the ultimate prospect of a transition of the functional operation of IANA out of ICANN. Highly unlikely, but in many people's minds, something to prepare for. Of course, there is a school of thought that says the preparation should all be done in modifying ICANN, so that that ICANN is the only credible home for the IANA function, and therefore all attention should be on ICANN. That view is not held throughout the CWG, so we therefore consider thoroughly the prospect of transitioning IANA away from ICANN. But the point I was trying to make inelegantly was that if we were to consider that transition of IANA away from ICANN, we need to consider that in the context of potential successive transitions thereafter, because we won't be credible if we simply say, well, if it doesn't work out from ICANN, we'll move it to operator number two. And as others picked up, if it doesn't work out at operator number two, whatever we've constructed better work to transition it to operator three, where operator three is not ICANN. So thanks. That's really just this kind of test for any model or construct we come up with. It needs to not just stop at step one. It needs to be comprehensive enough to be able to consider step three. And if not, there's a kind of logical failure to the model we construct.
Thank you, Jonathan. Two points. We have about 10 minutes left. Sharon requested, and rightly so, that we take a moment to discuss the integrated model that is a late entrant into Sidley's considerations, and somewhat later, for us as well. So I don't know if you've had any chance to look at it, or if you have any questions about it, or want us to discuss it in any fashion. Sharon, what's your thinking on that?
Yeah, I think it would be helpful to get some background on. I understand this proposal is trying to somehow bridge the internal and the external solutions, but can you give us, at a high level, why there's a belief that this is a solution, that this what are the merits of this? What makes it better?
Well, that's a good question. I think that may be better answered by those who are championing that solution. I think the idea that one thing that makes it perhaps better is that it creates a separable separable NTIA that could be separated at a later point in time without necessarily creating any outside mechanism at the moment to do that. So that's one part of it. Sharon, I see your hands up again.
Well, let me just take an example. So there's three variations. One is an IANA subsidiary, one is a shared services arrangement, and a third is a freestanding IANA. How is the freestanding IANA, this is just as an example, how is that different from Contract Co? What do people think is different about that?
Well, I think in this case, Contract Co contemplates an external company that takes the NTIA's place. The freestanding IANA, I think, contemplates an IANA root zone management staff that exists in an independent place, thereby creating an arm's length relationship between that and ICANN, which then, in a sense, ICANN could take the NTIA's place. So it's really a question of which side is outside the body, so to speak.
But structurally, are we thinking it's theoretically possibly another, let's not call it Contract Co, but another new co, so there's three parties. There's Contract Co or whatever that entity is. There's ICANN and IANA. I'm just trying to understand what...
I think the idea was to have a new co... Put IANA into the new co and thereby not have to create a Contract Co as a new co.
So in other words, NTIA could transition its contractual oversight role, its decision-making, to ICANN, and ICANN would then be contracting with IANA and providing the oversight, and ICANN would be that oversight mechanism. What's interesting to me is so many of these models are very concerned about ICANN's ability, to operate the IANA functions in the way that the multi-stakeholder group would like. I'm trying to understand what the advantage is that's seen there.
I think that there was a hope in this model that ICANN would be accountable and more driven or instructed by the multi-stakeholder community in its actions in dealing with IANA.
But I mean, how would that, how would the more direction and instruction happen with IANA outside ICANN than inside ICANN?
Well, I think the idea is that ICANN would, that there be a contract between ICANN and the IANA that would form kind of the accountability and oversight. And then within ICANN, there would be methods and processes for the multi-stakeholder community to guide ICANN in its oversight, so that it wasn't ICANN the corporation going forward. Jonathan, I see your hand is up.
I'll defer to Josh and then come in after that.
Josh?
I want to ask a question about the sort of second of the three sort of structures that they proposed. Leaving aside for the moment, and just because we're short on time, the substantive complexity of sort of the fully independent IANA and how that looks different from, in some ways, substantively the external proposals. In the SSA model, where they have the three policymaking boards, each having a separate SSA with this separate IANA entity, the way I read it, and I'd like to see if others share this reading or if I've misread it, the way I read it, that seems to imagine a separate IANA affiliate or separate IANA entity that is co-owned one-third, 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 if you will, or has three members, not really owned because it's a nonprofit, but has three members that are ICANN and the two other policymaking bodies, both with sort of equal weight as members and perhaps even as board members too. Is that the correct read of that middle iteration?
Yes, it is, and I think that's caused some consternation in the sense that our task is really only to come up with a solution for the names and not for the protocol parameters and numbers, which would be those other two pieces. On the other hand, we're not supposed to act as if they don't exist. That is kind of that is what they're trying to solve for, is kind of the ultimate solution.
Okay.
So, in fact, Greg and Josh, that's closely related to the point I was going to make. I was going to say two things. One is that we reviewed these proposals in some detail in a single meeting or a meeting substantially dedicated to this in the CWG. And my sense of that, whilst not ruling out the other variants, was that we had a move within that meeting towards one of the variants. I don't remember off the top of my head which it was. I'd need to quickly go back and refresh, unless Greg, you or someone else remembers that. But certainly that was the sense of that meeting, that one variant got more traction with the group than the other two. Second, that there is a form of assumption in this integrated model that in some ways the other participants in the IANA function, the numbers and protocols, would work with some form of integrated model, and we have no indication, notwithstanding our scope that you referred to a moment ago, Greg, that they would be interested in participating in some form of integrated model. So there is that concern or consideration as well. Thanks.
Thanks, Jonathan. We have about 2 minutes left. Anything in terms of next steps? I know that some of the Sibley people have to drop right at the hour.
Greg, it feels to me what the next steps I'd like to see is a sense of the content of the two meetings, and I think we're pretty close to that, but I think we owe it to ourselves, the CWG, and our Sibley colleagues to give a feel for, you know, the two different meetings and the desired outcomes. I think we might want to do some work on some themes and try and get those themes to that earlier point that Holly talked about. And I do think it would help me and possibly others if we were to just describe, over and above what we've said in this, how our way of working might go. You know, that there's iteration, and then we come to this point, and then we come to that point, and that may be overly prescriptive, but to try and give others a sense of where this is going, you know, how we're likely to move towards some resolution and outcomes. Thanks.
Thanks, Jonathan. I would add to that too that on our side, and including Lisa, it would be also helpful if all of us read carefully the document that we received this morning or last night, depending upon where you are, and provided you know, editorial and conceptual comments back to Sidley so that we can have a revised draft for Istanbul, you know, assuming that this, you know, this first draft isn't, you know, is going to need at least a little tweaking. So far, I've read about half of it, and you know, thought it was very solid. But that's, you know, something we need to kind of give feedback on.
Right, and you know, we view this draft as very, very much a work in progress. And we're happy to continue to fine-tune it between now and Istanbul, you know, recognizing that once we start traveling, it becomes much more difficult for us to be engaged in that exercise. But so that's a long way of saying that any initial reactions or suggestions that you come back to us, you know, sooner rather than later. I am concerned that, you know, often this kind of document leads to more questions. And I don't know that we want to address the questions that you've just sent us across the transom. I'd like to understand timing on those. And if then this draft simulates a lot more questions, I don't know that we can get those done before Istanbul. So in any event, we'll do our best.
But well, fully understood. I think we need to get our comments back to you on this document in the next day or so, so that you have any chance to deal with them before Istanbul. And then I think everyone will understand that, you know, that's an iterative process. There's going to be a lot of questions that come up that will need to be kind of pulled down for further review and answer. And, you know, even capturing those questions sometimes off of the lists and chats and call transcripts can be a challenge in and of itself. Especially as they come in from the larger group. So, you know, it's our job as the client committee to try to concentrate things that come in from the rest of the CWG, but that's, you know, on our side what we'll be doing. But, yeah, you know, I don't think we should be too concerned about, you know, trying to do the impossible.
Greg, can we get a deadline on that? I mean, is it close of business Friday or is it close of business Monday? We're currently working for content on the design teams, as you know, Monday, but I think that may be too late for Sidley, so perhaps we need to just be sure
We need comments. I hate to give a tight deadline, but we really need comments end of day Friday if we're to, because Sharon and I have got it, that's the weekend.
Yeah, I think that's fully, completely doable and appropriate. I see Martin's comment in the chat that he read it twice and did not feel any changes are necessary. You know, I have to read it twice as well, but I certainly didn't see a section where I started, like, you know, reaching furiously for a pen and start, you know, doing, you know, things, which is a good sign. So let's make it 1800 UTC, which is 4 p.m. Eastern time on Friday. No, it's 2 p.m. Eastern time on Friday. That should work for us. We'll just make sure that Lisa knows about that as well. Martin, I see your hands up.
Yes, I hope you hear me. I have a suggestion. maybe we shouldn't put too much time in revising this document, as it's already out to the group. And I think it will not be helpful to have things going around. It's here. We're not here to perfect this document. I think it's good because it's informative. It answers the questions, at least to a certain extent, of course, but that's what we wanted. And what we really should work on is to have a good presentation of the highlights of the document and a good comprehensive presentation on the first day, I think. Because it will not be about, I hope at least, not be about details of this document. It will be about the highlights we have to discuss first.
I guess my response to that kind of twofold. One is, if there are ways I think we could, see to clearly improve the document or correct any assumptions, I think we should do so. I think that reworking the document for the sake of creating a second draft, doesn't make sense. And I think you raised another very important point, which is how will this be presented in Istanbul? It won't really do to put the document up in the chat or in the middle of the Adobe Connect. So I don't know if a PowerPoint is called for or just some bullet points. We'll expect people to have read it by the time we get to discussing it. But that is an important point. Jonathan?
Thanks, Greg. I'm with you and Martin. I don't think they're necessarily contradictory. I think if we are able to not produce a second version of the document, great. If there is something substantive that needs to be done, but we could still ask for any questions or input simply to give Sidley initial feedback. That doesn't mean we necessarily need to produce another version of the document. And I agree with you. It's critical that we have a method, and really ideally Sidley, but with our help if necessary, to think about how best to bring out some of the key themes here. And it may be one slide per question, somehow or another we need to have a tool, a mechanic to discuss the salient points and possibly the themes that Holly mentioned much earlier in the conversation, possibly wrapping up with some of the themes or something like that. We need a mechanism to present and get the ideas across and have an ability to discuss them. So that's what I would like to be seeing in the first meeting,
This is Holly, and I didn't raise my hand, but if I may, happy to work on some kind of thought about how to do something that's summary. One of the challenges we found in answering the questions was because of the way that they were phrased, there was a lot of redundancy. And so if I were going to do a summary of this document, I wouldn't organize it by the questions that were asked. I would try to find a different organizing principle that might have to do more with sort of legal considerations for the external model, legal considerations for the internal model, legal considerations for a trust model. So I think it would be better organized around what the potential solutions are that you're looking at. Does that make sense?
Yes, Holly, it's Jonathan. That makes absolute sense to me. I have no objection to that. I think it's really sensible. I think what you are dealing with due respect to members of our committee and those that worked on producing this document, is a classic case of, the camel being the horse designed by a committee. This was a document prepared by a committee that attempted to respond to various inputs. That means that it is almost by definition not well formed, although people did attempt to produce form and structure to it. So my initial reaction is, yes, by all means, if you can pull together some themes and a more appropriately structured response that is recognizing these questions, I think that will be very valuable.
This is Greg. I would second that, and would also say that either that our staff, or I should say ICANN staff, may be able to help you, you know, put things into a PowerPoint form, you know, with nice, you know, not necessarily graphics, but at least looking better than, you know, black on white. Or, of course, you know, Sidley probably has, you know, business development and other people there who can do that too. But, you know, one of the great blessings that we have in working on this is the sophisticated and hardworking staff that has many tools at their disposal. So.
Well, we appreciate that offer. Right now, it's going to be a challenge in the time to get it down on paper substantively and summarized. And we will certainly think about how to make it pretty and fancy. But I want to get the substance right first.
Yeah, I'm just suggesting once we get that substance, we could write or close. We could turn that over to staff, and then they would be able to, you know, do something that's a little, you know, more aesthetic. So I think then now 10 after, if there is anything in the kind of all other business at this point, please raise your hand. If not, I think we've chewed on a number of things.
I'd like to confirm from a to-do perspective, you folks are going to get us comments by some point end of day Friday. We're going to work on some kind of summary presentation that touches on what we thought were the really key driving legal points. That's short, sweet. I would hope no more than 4 or 5 slides.
That works perfectly for me on both our actions and yours.
Terrific.
And then we have, you know, in the right-hand side here in the notes, we have various action items listed. This will all be available to everyone, you know, shortly after this call. So you don't have to furiously cut and paste this into some side document. So, you know, anything else, or shall we adjourn? Jonathan?
Greg, Jonathan, one final point, and that's that in effect we have designed session one. So if we could pick up on list and just generally think about session two, thinking ahead to that, and we may not be able to design it fully ahead of session one, but let's just give some thought to that as well. Thanks.
Great, and we could also think about how Explain could come in and help take those high-level concepts and explainify them. Kind of in the one picture worth a thousand words working method, they're very helpful in that way. So we can get them involved in that potentially as well. So I think with that, we're ready to adjourn. Obviously, we will try to be, you know, very active on the list. And I would also, just as one last point, suggest to Sidley, and please pass this on to your compeers that have left the call. Don't feel shy about using the client mailing list, even for kind of raw documents. I think that's what ICANN aficionados expect, and not a lot of off-list work. You know, clearly, if there's a particular thing that, you know, wants to be taken off-list, that's a point. But the default should be that everything comes through the list, even things that are very much works in progress. They just kind of need to be introduced as such.
You know, Greg, I'm actually more comfortable with you folks doing that, but if the directive is to do that in the first instance, we don't mind this being shared publicly, but I think we thought in some ways it was yours to do that.
No, this the client committee, this should be viewed as our shared sandbox. So, you know, please feel free to, you know, drop things directly into it.
The client committee or the CWG?
The client committee list.
Oh, absolutely. No, we're comfortable with that. We have.
Yeah. If anything needs to be introduced broadly to the larger CWG list, we can take care of that.
Okay.
We have, I think, almost maybe 30 observers, non-participant observers on this list, on the client list. So a lot of those who want to see what we're doing are viewing it on this list. There are things that need to go to the full list. You know, we'll certainly send to the full list.
Okay. Great.
I think that clears that up. So I look forward to plenty of activity and to seeing you all in Istanbul and to great breakthroughs in Istanbul.
We just have to make sure there's time to go to the Grand Bazaar.
Well, that sounds good to me.
Okay.
Need a little bit of the romance of business travel to be broken up by some actual excitement.
See you next week, all.
See you next week.
Take care.
Talk to you all before then in different places.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye, all. That concludes this call.